Like they say, the show must continue Saturday for across the globe, shooting in Philly, shooting in Nigeria, in Ondo State, and a lot of people dying. It's a sad day, sad day. But my name has not changed. I'm still Adeje Adebowale, and of course, it's the best show in the whole of the universe. It's News Instance of Sports, airing on a band radio scope, and of course, on your podcast from Apple Podcasts to Spotify, and other podcasts that you can think of. I don't have so much to talk about today. Honestly, it's I'm mentally spent, so to speak. And my co-hosts unfortunately are not available. The show wasn't supposed to happen today anyways, but here we are. We just have to do something for people to watch us and see what we have to say about whatever it is that is happening in the world. I'll jump straight into the world of tennis, where we had a great weekend. Rafael Nadal doing what he knows how to do best. At a point, I'm pretty sure the French Open would need to be renamed after Rafael Nadal. Like, this is your tournament, just own it. Whatever it is that you want to do with it, we agree with you. You want to win it every year, so be it. 14th title for Rafael, beating Ruud Kasper in straight set, in three straight sets. The third set ending in 6-6. So that just goes to show you that we don't have so much of competition in the finals. So the question that people are asking is, what if Alexander Zverev did not have that ligament injury that he did in the semifinals against Rafa? And but of course, it's debatable. It's things that need to be brought to the fore, and like, okay, would it have changed anything? Rafa came into this tournament with a foot injury himself. So honestly, I wouldn't have thought, or I don't think it would have changed anything, even if Rafa had Alexander Zverev had a ligament issue, multiple ligament issue on his right foot in the semifinals. But kudos to Rafa. Salute to the King of Clay. No debate about it. 14th title on the clay. And of course, is the highest winner in terms of Grand Slams in the history of the world. And that raises the question of the GOATs. Who is the best? Rafael, Novak, or of course Roger Federer. But we all know who it is. For me, I know who it is. I'm not gonna argue much about it unless you have a dissenting opinion about it. And of course, unfortunately for me, I don't have my co-host to ask that question. That's what's the dissenting opinion that you have about it. I'm pretty sure everybody has one or two things to say about who their goals is supposedly, or who it should not be supposedly. But for me, there can only be one goal, and it then starts with R.O. And of course, in the female version of tennis, Iga Swiatek winning her second French Open, and she defeated Corey Goff in straight set. Corey Goff did a wonder for herself, gets to the final itself. She got to the final of the doubles as well, but she lost both. But of course, this is an upward trajectory for her, so we expect things to get better as time goes on. But like we discussed on the show last week, and we were talking about the female version of tennis. Are we going to be seeing a relatively change in stance and probably dominance by Iga? probably will be seeing this, especially when you consider players like Sabalenka, players like Corey Goff, Steven Sloan, Naomi Osaka not coming to the party, and of course the Australia that retired a couple of weeks or months ago as well. So, and the Williams sister, the next tournament is going to be in Wimbledon, the All England courts, and of course the Williams sisters have not been given cards right now, so they're probably going to be playing, racking up points for them to qualify for the Wimbledon Open, unless they do get a wild card sometime pretty soon. And of course, to the NBA, Kobe Bryant actually his rookie jersey was auctioned, and guess how much it was sold for? It was sold for a whopping $2.73 million, which is a big one, honestly. Even though the legend is gone, but the legacy, the folklore lives on, and we can't help it but think about Kobe, and give props to Kobe for what he did in the world of basketball. And up to game two tonight, Sunday, the 5th of June 2022, game two, the Golden State Warriors versus the Boston Celtics. And I know a whole lot of questions will be asked. What happened to the Golden State Warriors in game one? I think they fluffed their lines, if I'm permitted to use that word. And it was a show of horror for them, especially in the fourth quarter. They were leading at the point with a whooping 15 to 20 points in the third quarter and outside of the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. And somehow, they blew it. Bad three throws, loss of confidence, I don't know, and they lost it. But talking about saying they lost it would not do justice to what Celtic did on the night in game one. And we have to give props to whom prop is due to. Ime Udoka actually made a little bit of change to the team. Jason Tatum was actually more of a facilitator as opposed to a goal scorer. And Jalen Brown actually came to the party. Alford did wonders as well. But no disrespect to all the other guys. The biggest player for them on the night has to be Marcus Stewart. And the truth about that is the fact that Marcus Stewart is the all defensive player of the season in the NBA this season. And he has come out to say, fine, I don't know if I'm getting the props that I deserve, but of course it deserves to be mentioned with the best in the NBA this season. And reason being, he guarded Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, of course Steph Curry, and he did it pretty well. Only Steph had a little bit of chance against him. I think Steph took 6 points off him. The other guys took a grand total double of 0 points off Stewart Marcus. So in game two tonight, we should be expecting a different beast for the Celtic, different approach of course for the Golden State Warriors as well. If they take the lead, how do they secure their lead? What are they going to do differently so they don't have this kind of midlife crisis or quarter collapse? The Celtic, for all you know, they like to take games on the road. They did that against the Miami Heat. They did that the same thing against the Milwaukee Bucks as well. So in the Eastern Conference, so it's going to be tantalizing seeing it tonight, taking game one away from home, and it's going to be tantalizing. Honestly, I wish by the time this program is going to be published, probably game two will be done. But I'm going to put out a snippet on our social media and ask people what they think is going to happen tonight in game two. And of course, we'll go on a quick break right now. When we'll come back, we'll be jumping straight into the world of football, where we don't have so much, just a couple of UEFA National League, and of course, a whole lot of transfer news. Don't go anywhere, guys. Yeah, so we're back, and we're back live. It's still New Sensation Sports. My name is still Adeja Adebowale. My name has not changed. I'm still the anchor of the show. And I'm here alone by myself, me, myself, and I, doing the sporting program we call the New Sensation Sports. You could see my logo at the back of me if you like it. Come on. This offer one buy one of me. Anyways, back to business and back to serious business. I don't understand one thing, and what I don't understand is there like an agenda to ensure a level of parity between the goats of this era in Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi? We've never had a finalisma before. This is the first time we are having it, and of course, it was a very good game. Lionel Messi showing his still have it. That whatever that happened at PSG, it's a temporal dip, and that he still has the class to show that he is one of the best in the whole world. And the defeated, I'm looking for the word to use, a pathetic Italy on the day, 3-0, he ended in favor of Argentina. Lionel Messi tearing them into shreds. Lautaro Martinez, Angel Di Maria showing the quality they have on the day to defeat in Italy. But my question is, should this count as national trophy, so to speak, for Lionel Messi? I wouldn't count it, honestly. I know people come around to say, oh wow, no, it should be counted, but I don't think it should be counted as a national trophy. And when we're trying to talk about parity between Ronaldo and Messi, like, okay, Messi won 2 trophies for his national team as well. We know the details of what they did with Copa Libertadores for him to win that as well. So honestly, no disrespect to Lionel Messi and to the Argentine national team, but this does not look so much like a trophy to me. Honestly, that's just my opinion. I stand to be corrected. And of course, to another one, even Perisic has agreed and is moving to Tottenham Hotspur to join his former manager Antonio Conte, and we could be saving by moving the other direction back to Ajax. So it's looking like it's shaping up for Spurs right now. Looks like they understand what they need to do. They understand what they should be doing and what needs to be done for them to get over the cross line and possibly challenge for the Premier League next season. I know people be like, Spurs challenging for the Premier League, but honestly, very, very possible. We've seen what Conte can do, especially in the league. He did it with Chelsea. Chelsea coming from the back of a turbulent season. He came back and did wonders for them. The first 3 games of the season for him was not the best, but at the end of the day, he did what he needs to do and they came back. He did the same thing with Juventus when Juventus were lagging seriously, no Serie A titles after the Scudetto scandal. He came back, won them the Scudetto a couple of times as well. He did the same thing with Inter Milan. Inter Milan were not winning. They were not winning the league. He came back, won the league for them. So we could possibly be seeing something be going down for Antonio Conte and Tottenham Hotspur, especially if he's backed by Daniel Levy. Because you look at it, he switched the tournament or their season around. As of the time he got to Spurs in January, I think Spurs were on 9th position with a couple of outstanding games. That should be noted anyways. But outstanding or not outstanding, he came up with the goods and turned the season around. Struggled at first, but with this kind of signings and doing them early again, it's going to give Spurs the leverage that they needed to challenge for trophies next season. And of course, Eriksen has been closely linked to Manchester United. Don't forget that Wamata is going, Matic is going as well, or is gone as a matter of fact. Paul Lebeli, Pogba is going as well. So when you have a talisman like Eriksen, it's going to give you a little bit of bite, an attacking option with his intelligence and the way he plays. And of course, if Tadi could do it under Ten Hag, then we should be able to see the same being replicated by the revolved or the revolutionized Eriksen. Because Eriksen does not look like someone that was dead for like a couple of minutes last summer, you know. So was it last summer? Yeah, last summer. Yeah, it looks like a rebatted player coming and showing us what he can do with the attacking options, with intelligence. We all know what he did to Chelsea at the Stamford Bridge last season, playing for Brentford. So imagine him playing for Manchester United, where Manchester United are looking to get more quality players. And of course, you can throw away players like Bruno Fernandes, Cristiano Ronaldo, and the rest of the gang at United. So it's interesting time if we see this deal go through. Philippe Coutinho has actually signed for Aston Villa for about £18 million, which is a good one. They will look forward to that. So to a more pressing or a more concerning one would be the issue of Gareth Bale. What does Bale want? What should Bale do? Gareth Bale he said he's not retiring, does not want to quit just yet. So that gives us a little bit of how do I put it? That gives us a little bit of concern, so to speak, for Gareth Bale. Where does he move to? Does he move to Scotland? Go back to Wales? Come back to the Premier League with Spurs? Move somewhere else? Maybe Italy, Milan. That have actually had about £1.3 billion pumped into their club, right? Through some American company. So it is interesting time for Gareth Bale. But honestly, if the question is thrown at us, or is thrown at you, what do you think Gareth Bale should do? Gareth Bale have had a fantastic career so far. Won 5 Champions League? Yeah, I think 5 Champions League trophy. 5 Champions League trophy, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he won this season. Yeah, 5 Champions League trophy, which is very, very, very marvelous. for. And of course, by this season, it was instrumental in the other four Champions League trophies. And of course, Arsenal are trying to sign Jesus from Manchester City, and they are willing to double his wage from £100,000 every week to £200,000 every week. I think that is ridiculous, and if they should find themselves in this kind of situation again, it's Arsenal. They know how to do their thing, but they'll find themselves in this kind of situation, and in the next couple of weeks or months, they'll be complaining about Jesus again because of the money they are throwing around at him. So I don't think that is the kind of money that anybody should be throwing around for any kind of player, and for that kind of player. And still on Arsenal, Arsenal are trying to sign the Sassuolo striker Sakama for £35 million. Negotiation is still ongoing. Sassuolo wants at least £50 million, €50 million, for the kid. Let's wait and see how that will pan out. And just before we go on the show, to a little bit of interesting thing, a little bit of discussion about Jose Mourinho. Jose Mourinho is being closely linked to the job at Paris. You're laughing. It's been closely linked to the job at Paris, and people keep asking the question: is Jose done for? Is this going to be the last chance? His last shot at the top job before it goes a little bit further down? But of course, if Arsenal can do it, trust me, you can't write off Jose Mourinho. So let me know if you want to see Jose at Stade de France next season, being the gaffer, and what will happen to Pochettino once he leaves PSG. And of course, Matic could potentially be moving to Roma. He has been offered contract by Roma to play under Jose Mourinho. Paul Pogba could be moving potentially to Juventus as well. The rumor is out there. Paulo Dybala is being touted to move to AC Milan, Spurs, Manchester United, or Arsenal. Nothing is out there right now. Ousmane Dembele, we heard, has agreed terms with Chelsea to move on a free transfer to Chelsea for a whooping £250,000 weekly wage as well, for the young lad if he moved to the blue side of London. Just before we wrap up, like I said, the Euro League, the European Nation League, the UEFA Nations League is still ongoing right now, with teams showing what they are made of. Surprisingly, Ralf Rangnick is top of the table, Group A, after that defeat against Croatia 3-0, closely followed by Denmark on the same number of points after defeated France as well 2-1. So we have two surprising results in Group A. In League A, Group 2, we have Portugal on top of the league, on top of the table right now, comfortably with 4 points. Czech Republic as well with 4 points. Spain are playing a 2-2 draw against Czech Republic on 2 points. While Switzerland has a grand total number of 0 points. In Group 3, Hungary are on the top of the table with 3 points, closely followed by Germany that played a 1-1 draw against Italy. 1 point apiece for Germany and Italy. And of course, England lost to that controversial penalty by Soblazia to keep themselves at the bottom of the league. And of course, in Group 4, we have Netherlands topping right now, closely followed by Poland and Wales and Belgium. Belgium at bottom of the table, no thanks to that loss against their rival Belgium. And in League B, so they have two leagues: League A, League B, League C, and League D. So in League B, we have Armenia in group one, Armenia topping right now, closely followed by Scotland, Ukraine that have not played, and Ireland at the bottom. Iceland, Israel, Albania, and Russia of course will not be playing because of the sanctions. Montenegro are topping group three, followed by Bosnia Herzegovina, Finland at third, and of course Romania at bottom of the table. Norway are leading their own group four right now with 6 points, closely followed by Serbia and Sweden, and then of course we have Slovenia at the bottom. Turkey, Luxembourg, Lithuania, and Faroe Island in group one, League C. And in League C, group two, we have Greece, followed by Kosovo, Northern Ireland, and Cyprus. And in group C, group three, in League C, group three, we have Kazakhstan, Slovakia, Belarus, and of course, Azerbaijan. And the last group in League C would be the League of Latvia, Moldova, Liechtenstein, and of course Andorra at the bottom. And in League D, group two, we have Malta, Estonia, and San Marino respectively. So I don't think so much to this UEFA Nations League. Maybe at a point things will change, and we'll see better things. But as it stands right now, nobody really understands what UEFA are trying to achieve with that. But that is the wrap, and that's the show. Thank you very much for staying tuned with us. My name is Elijah Adebowale. Do have a wonderful sporting week.